in your Bibles again to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 6, and our text is found in verse 13 this evening. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Stand therefore. Standing in an evil day. An evil day, that is, such as, well, we encountered that our friend Enoch stood in the Old Testament dispensation. The wherefore, verse 13, beginning of the verse. When you see a wherefore in the Bible, you have to ask yourself the question, wherefore is the therefore, and the therefore's there because of what went before, what Paul has already said. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armour of God. Why? Because, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. That's why. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armour of God. If you notice, verses 10, 13, 14, there are four references to effectually to standing firm. There is no need for us to go looking for the devil, because he will come for us. We can be assured of that. And so Paul says that we need to be ready, that is, to stand. This is the second reference also that emphasizes the need for the armor of God. Warns us against a careless attitude, spirit, presumptuous spirit. We don't take any liberties with the devil. He is evil, he is clever, and he is a very, very determined foe. He will be very quick to note any flaws in our armour. The text that speaks of a day of evil coming, a time where there is a significant assault or confrontation, even perhaps maybe an all-out attack, all guns blazing, something of a spiritual or a moral blitz, seeking by sheer force to destroy us or the work of God in one assault. In such a time, says Paul, we must stand, we must fight ourselves to a standstill, and after we have done that, to stand. So, in order for this to be, we need to have a determined attitude ourselves, spirit of obedience, spirit of faith, spirit of victory. Obedience. We have seen that evil is not incidental. It's not just occasional bad days, though we have those too. It's personal, it's organized, it constitutes a kingdom. It has a head, namely Satan. He has office bearers, and he has an army of well-seasoned, battle-hardened soldiers. They've been at it for a long, long time. And they are working in God's world constantly, in all times and in all places, militating against the kingdom of God and his Christ. And at times there are great surges, assaults, confrontations, and in such times, says Paul, in order to stand, we must have this attitude, the spirit of obedience. Because, the character of Satan's work is sometimes, you know, it's subtle, sometimes it's seductive, sometimes he's just simply undermining the truth, quietly working away, dismantling the superstructure of the work. He can't destroy the foundation, of course. He can't move the foundation, but he can certainly do his utmost to bring down the superstructure of the work of God. It might be a fellowship of God's people. It might be an entire denomination. It might be a local fellowship such as our own. It might be one single individual believer targeted by these principalities and powers of darkness. At every stage of development, at every stage of reformation in the church, you'll find this. He has his agents within the church, and he has his agents outside of the church. And where you have a church, where you have a fellowship of God's people who are determined on reformation, that they hope and that they trust will bring about revival, where you have such development, where you have a body of Christians within a church who are determined that reformation will take place, you can guarantee right hard on the heels of it will be these forces and powers of darkness. Where you have believers who are serious about the sanctification of their lives, where you have believers or a believer, it may be some, it may be one, it matters not, there is no difference, it is all the work of God's kingdom, where you have people who are determined on mission, evangelizing the community, the nation, society, seeking to build or maybe even cast down those things that have been erected against the kingdom of God. Traditions of men. It will be opposed. Do not be surprised. So in order to counter the character of Satan's work, we must needs have this spirit, stubborn holiness, stubborn spirit, attitude of obedience. We will do whatever he does to us, however he comes at us, whether from within or without, we stand obedient to the Lord. We're called to fight. And if you're determined to be earnest in the things of God, in a life of Christian service, you will be contested, you will have trouble. Your experience at times will be painful, it will be costly. But what we need to remember, beloved in Christ, is that we are called to fight, that we are warring at Christ's command, not in our own charge. This is not a warfare of our own making. You know, there are some people that get themselves in trouble because they've caused a fight. You know, it's of their own making. This is not of our making. Yeah? And this fight we are commanded to engage in. And Jesus Christ, of course, is our captain. He is our leader. You recall in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14, just before the Israelites were about to be led by Joshua into the fray in the land of Canaan, the promised land, to take Jericho and Ai and those many other cities, Joshua was met by the captain of the Lord of hosts, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who declared to him then, "I am the captain." So we are led into this fray, we are commanded to fight, and we are led into this fray by the captain of our salvation, even our Lord Jesus Christ. So in such a time we are entitled, it's our right, to look to him for direction and for dynamic, that is, for his dynamic, his active presence with us in the midst of the fight. And what Paul is telling us here is that he has made complete provision for us. Panoply is the right word, that is the original word, the entire armour of God. He, like a servant of a crusading knight, has prepared and laid the armour at our feet for us to take it and wear it and use it in the conflict simply because nothing of ours will be of any use. You recall the time when King David, well, he wasn't king then, but young David, was taking on Goliath. He was bidden to wear this armor, and of course it didn't fit him. It was cumbersome, it was too heavy. He says, I can't cope with this, and he threw it off. And of course he went to fight Goliath with his own usual weapons. That's not the case here, because this armor is provided for by God himself, and it fits every Christian believer perfectly. It is suitable for us all. We cannot fight the fight without this armor. But if we are going to be real about life, about experience, about Christian service, we need to get to grips with the facts, the biblical facts, as they are reported for us by John in 1 John 5:19. He says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world, he says, lies under the sway of the wicked one, of Satan, of these principalities and powers of darkness. We know that we are of God. I trust that you do. If you're not sure, you've got some serious thinking to do, because you might not just be on the wrong foot, but in the wrong kingdom. So first and foremost, a spirit and attitude of obedience. This is the Lord's call to fight. He sets the battle terms, and we simply stand in obedience to what he has commanded. Secondly, the spirit, the attitude of faith. If you believe 1 John 5:19, what God says in his word, now remember, this will not affect any laid-back Christian, any laid-back church. This will not affect such people. These people, Satan has already got where he wants them. He's not even bothered about them. Okay? But if we believe, if we truly take God at his word, and believe what he says in 1 John 5:19, and here in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, we must grasp the possibilities of an outbreak of hostilities. We must be clear, beloved in Christ, on the entire dimensions of the spiritual, demonic, diabolical reality of these forces that are set arrayed against us, and the possibility of a provoked and concerted, deliberate assault upon us. Yes, even we here in this building this evening. And you need to remember this, you know. You pick up your daily newspaper, whether you read it in a hard copy or on an internet screen or a mobile phone. You know, you pick the papers up, or you watch the television news bulletin, and you see and you hear things in the news, and you say to yourself, that is evil. That is evil. Beloved, call it exactly what it is. Put a D in front of the evil and say what it is. That is devilish. Because that's where all evil comes from. And so, beloved, in order for us to counter these demonic forces, these powers of darkness, we need to stand in a spirit and attitude of faith. If you have been rescued and restored by God's sovereign divine grace, it comes down to personality, you know. If you turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, and you, that's us Christians, yeah, start at verse 1. You, he says, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's made you alive, that is, regenerated you. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. That was us. That was us once, you know. And there are many, Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, who are blinded by the god of this age, by Satan and his forces. And you know, when it comes to this stuff, there are many within churches today, I tell you, the rugged realism of the Bible is just far too much for them. Far too stringent, far too radical. Because they too are blinded to the reality of these satanic forces. So if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian here this evening, then that is because of the invasion of God's sovereign and free grace. It is because He has broken the yoke, He has broken the bondage that you are in and set you free. And so in faith, in a spirit, an attitude of faith, well, you ought to give thanks to God for that. But if you have been rescued and restored, I guarantee you, you will face resentment and raiding by Satan. Peter, the apostle, he tells us in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 that he is like a roaring lion and he goes about the earth all over the place seeking whom he may gobble up, devour. He hates the fact that you have been plucked from his grasp and he hates you as much as he hates Jesus Christ and God himself. There's a man in the New Testament in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 who thought that he was no novice. He thought that he was well grounded in the faith. He thought there was no possibility that he could possibly backslide, fall or fail in any way whatsoever. And Jesus used not his new name but his old name, Simon, Simon, Satan has you for the asking. He forgot what he was by nature, because beloved in Christ, we are all of us, in spite of God's grace, there's still that remaining corruption within us, there is that treacherous weakness, introverted self-centeredness in all of us. And the only thing that can counter that is the redeeming grace of God in Jesus Christ. Spiritual pride awaited Simon Peter. There was a danger that he had not even begun to understand. The forces and powers of darkness that are arrayed against the kingdom of God and its members. So we are commanded here to wrestle and fight. That is, in a spirit, in an attitude of faith. It was Peter who failed, not his faith. Because Jesus prayed for him. He says, I have prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. Well, when Jesus prays for somebody, his prayers are answered. God never refuses his son. It was Peter, not his faith, that failed. But wrestle, beloved, is an individual word. It's something that we must do for ourselves. It can't be done for you. Nobody else can do it for you. You know, the problem with Christian service is that, well, in the churches, well, today at least anyway, that, you know, many they leave others to bear the load. You know, well, that's the pastor's problem. Like, you know, that's the church officers, that's their problem, you know, till, beloved, we wrestle, we need to understand this, grasp this, that we wrestle not against flesh, not against men, not against circumstances, but read it again and again and again, verse 12, get it down deep into your soul, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is reality. You may think of us as Christians in this world as being very small. And I suppose we are in terms of well, the world's thinking, we're a non-entity. You know, it's something just to be brushed aside or stepped upon. But if you think that way, if that's your attitude, then you are deceived already. Because I tell you, we are something to be reckoned with. The whole kingdom of evil, all these principalities and powers, are arrayed against us. So, in a day when evil power is working intensely and mightily, you and I, as Christians, we need to hold the line unbowed, repulsing every assault, standing with the whole armour of God, in a spirit and attitude of obedience and faith. And then thirdly, with a spirit of victory. We stand, we refuse to move because we have the victory. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:57, that we are to abound in the work of the Lord, steadfast, immovable. More than conquerors, he says, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Are you living, are you walking in the victory this evening and rejoicing in it? Because none can take away from us what is ours by right. We have the victory. We're not going to have it, we have it already. It's ours by right. And we need to remember this in the midst of the raging storms. There is peace. Psalm 46 verse 1, though the whole world, the universe be disintegrating and falling apart, there is a river that runs through the city of God, through the heart of God's people, a river of peace. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Defeat is not inevitable. Some of us need to start thinking a little bit more positively. You know, oh, you know, I'll be brushed aside, you know. In an evil day, Satan comes after me, forces of darkness come against me. Well, I know me, you know, and I'll be defeated. Defeat is not inevitable. Paul, think of Paul in his missionary labours. He was pressed beyond measure. He says he despaired of life itself, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8, but there was never any backtracking. It was always forwards. The battle's real, and the matter of this armour is a matter of urgency, beloved in Christ. So we need to remember that we have the victory. We pray and we preach and we build, we reform, we do everything from victory ground. We are an attacking force. The emphasis, of course, here is standing against repeated assaults from the enemy. And of course, the Ephesians, well, they knew something of the powers of evil. And maybe the reason why Paul writes this is because maybe some of them were living in fear because of it. Well, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, something else that we need to grasp hold of: for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're not to live and walk in fear. We're an attacking force. We're not on the defensive. When Jesus, when he speaks in Matthew 16 and verse 18 about the gates of hell not prevailing against us, he's not thinking of defense there. He's thinking about an attacking force. What he's thinking about is the kingdom of evil reeling backwards because of the assault upon it by the proclamation of the gospel. And you know, there's nowhere where you will find the activity of Satan more than where that gospel is proclaimed, where it is preached in its truth and in its fullness. and guarantee you, you will find assaults coming from the evil one. If there's anything that he doesn't want in this building, it's the word of God preached. Yeah? Everything else is secondary to that. That is primary, that is always primary. But you let the secondaries get in the way of that. Then you let Satan in through the door and you let him destroy what has been done here in this place, which is of the ultimate importance to God and to his kingdom and to us as a fellowship of God's people. The Arabs have one of these funny sayings. They say if you let the camel get its nose in through the tent door, it'll get its whole body in. Yeah, you let Satan get a finger through that door, and he'll get him the whole self in. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Whatever it is that he's tempting you with, take it to the cross, nail it to the cross. Don't let him in. Don't let him in. The territory might be the devil's, and it is, because we know he was cast out of heaven. He roams the earth like a roaring lion, as we've already said. This is the war of the ages. It began way back in the Garden of Eden. Serpent of the woman, seed of the woman, seed of the serpent again. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this war of the ages was stepped up a degree of intensity that is almost unbelievable. It began there, but it finished. It finished when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." The victory was won, gotten. And that victory is total, it is final, it is ours forever. And we must live in it with an attitude of victory, not defeat, not defensive, but going forward. And here's my question to you. I asked you this when we started the work 7 years ago, and I ask it again, will you stand with us? Are you going to run away? Will you stand with us as we pray, as we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, as we drive back, as we make the forces of darkness real, as we go forward preaching Jesus Christ? We got the victory. It's ours, you know. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Stand in that victory. We're an advancing force. Ours is a mopping up operation. You know, we're just freeing the prisoners of war as we go along through the enemy's territory. But of course, a defeated foe doesn't give up easily. We'll always be his targets. Paul, his missionary life is marked with conflict, beginning to end. We're in the enemy of the territory. The enemy's territory, seeking to free people from his evil grasp and kingdom. And we only do that through the proclamation of the gospel. A chance to pray in a minute. We've got people coming now here who are not saved, coming into this place. We've prayed for this, haven't we? We've prayed for this a long time. We've got people who are coming on a Sunday night who are not converted, who are not saved. Are we going to throw it all away? Just because people can't get what they want? Our business is obedience, to give God what he wants and to preach the gospel and see those people gloriously and wonderfully set free from the grasp of Satan. To bring the kingdom of God's light and love, no retreat, an attitude of victory, standing on that victory ground. We are, if you like, the armoured division, clothed upon with the armour of God. It's vital that we know when to stand and when to advance. Yes, I'll give you that in the interest of the long-term work. But we'll only know that by keeping close to the Lord, attentive to His every word, and aware of the gentle, sure constraints of His Spirit. But standing, and when we've done everything that we can to stand, we stand immovable. There are things that are just not up for debate. Yeah? Standing victorious, that's the business of saints. So be the day ever so wicked, with the wickedness of hell itself, Luther, he said poetically, all watching to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they cannot overpower us. Because we've gotten everything. We've gotten everything. God has provided for us fully. He has given us the victory and provided everything necessary for us to stand. Being a Christian, it's just simply win-win. Have you put on the armour of God? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.